may we dwell in spirit among heavenly things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We all know the expression, have your head in the clouds. If someone has his head in the clouds, this means that he is out of touch with reality. This person is aloof, dreaming, or unrealistic. His attitude, awkward and counterproductive. That's what it means to have your head in the clouds. Well, in the world of today, a world which incidentally portrays heaven as little winged cherubs floating on fluffy clouds, Catholics are frequently accused of having their heads in the clouds when it comes to life in modern-day society. However, this false accusation could not be further from the truth. And as for those chubby cherubs and cottony clouds, that's nothing but a most pathetic parody, a parody of the true heaven. There, in fact, the angelic powers and saints enjoy the most wonderful ecstasy as they contemplate together the very essence of the all-loving God. The truth is that the Catholic Church has made enormous contributions for the benefits of society throughout so many centuries. How many schools, hospitals, orphanages, how many shelters for the needy have been operated by clergy, religious, and lay people, precisely because they desired heaven, and they were motivated to teach other souls about heaven. Our world of today wants to mock the church and mock heaven because it wants to make its paradise right here and now on earth, as if social theorists and political strong people could somehow fabricate and control here below a heavenly experience without God and without his law, which they refuse. But our Lord ascended into heaven to show us the way to the Father. The Son went up to prepare a lasting place for us in the Father's house, together with the blessed company of the angels and the saints. Christ elevates our focus to the everlasting joys of heaven. Those heavenly joys which are far above and beyond the shallow and short-lived mirages of pleasure here on earth. That's why, truly, the more focused we are on this heavenly purpose in our lives, the more we already now dwell amid heavenly things by anticipation. The more we focus on heaven now, the more energy, the more industry we will have for charity and good works here on earth. Such is the lesson exemplified by the lives of so many saints. Such is the challenge put to us during this very short liturgical time of the Ascension. Focus more on heaven in order to do more good down here below on earth. Now, to follow our Lord home to heaven, St. Peter tells us today that we must give ourselves fully to prayer. And that prayer will fuel our acts of charity, our works of mercy for our neighbor. If we're not charitable enough to others, it's because, first of all, we are lacking in prayer, trying to kind of sweep prayer under the rug and maybe do it at the end of the day when we're falling half asleep after so many other things have been done. A lack of priority in prayer will mean a lack of charity in our lives. Those who faithfully live the truth and charity in view of heaven, they will actually do so much more for the needy here on earth. And they will do more, these people of faith and prayer, so much more than any social theorist or political talking head. St. Peter tells us then to be watchful and attentive in prayer. Indeed, in prayer, God will open our eyes to the truth of what is going on around us. God will show us the opportunities of doing good, the more you prayerfully ask him to reveal them to you. God will help us to make prudent decisions about what to do here and now. And through prayer, God will give us the energy and the courage to follow through, even when we've fallen so many times in the past. The apostle goes on to tell us, above all, have a constant and mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. What beautiful words of consolation for us. Charity covers a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one toward another, without complaining, ministering to one another. Like heaven, this concept of constant mutual charity, this concept is often misunderstood by today's world as simply being nice, as if the kindness of charity would be a sort of contemporary quality of wokeness. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas remarks that kindness does oblige us to help the sinner as a fellow human creature of God. But, he says, if in doing so we would be assisting or proving his sin, then that would become an evil act and thus not a true act of kindness. An evildoer is to be deprived of all kindness insofar as this prevents him from doing evil deeds. However, if the sinner is in urgent need of help, for example, if he is in danger of death or suffers from some great distress, then we are bound to help the sinner as we seek to soften his heart, to receive the truth of the faith, and to be converted wholeheartedly to it. Such is the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, our patron. So let us not underestimate the powerful influence kindness can have on others. St. Francis de Sales writes, "Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. And these three have never converted anyone unless these actions were done with kindness as well." So, we must be kind in deed and in truth if we wish to open the hearts of those who have stubbornly gone astray. Now, kindness is not sugary niceties, no. The truth is that kindness is really crucifying. Kindness is crucifying for us if we are to make the energy and take the time to be kind always and everywhere, as did Jesus himself during his life on earth. Our Lord was constantly solicited for help by crowds of people, many of whom were themselves unkind to him and unkind to others. But despite all of their sins and their bad habits, Jesus never seemed to tire of granting kindnesses to others, even to those whom he knew in advance would be ungrateful. So for us to imitate the kindness of Christ each day, we must constantly be in control of our words, constantly in control of our actions, constantly attentive, paying attention to the needs of others around us rather than to our own. While kindness is much harder than one might think, we cannot even begin to imagine all the immense good, all the good which kindness can do for souls. Nor can we even begin to imagine the joy which kindness can bring to the generous souls who care to be kind. So as we repent of our former sins and bad habits, let's remember what St. Peter tells us. Charity covers a multitude of sins. May our past regrets urge us on to multiply acts of charity for God and multiply acts of charity for neighbor in the future time that we have left. And according to that priority in the order of charity, let us be kinder, starting with the people we live with. The Catholic life does not put one's head in the proverbial clouds, no. But failure to live up to our religious duties, through selfish pride and negligence, will indeed do just that. It's selfishness which puts our heads in the clouds, remove us from the reality of daily life, and make us more and more unhappy. So to be active in truth and indeed on earth, without having one's head in the clouds, let us even now dwell in spirit amid heavenly things, as the collect of the Ascension reminds us. Our daily prayer and spiritual reading will teach us to stop overlooking all the good we can do, even in little ways, to the souls we meet each day around us. Let's stop distracting ourselves on our phones so that we have more time and energy to offer our prayers and do our spiritual reading. Let's stop making excuses, silly excuses that we make about why we do not apologize to others and why we fail to give either a good fraternal example to our peer or firm but kind correction to a child who really needs that correction. Let's stop making excuses. Let's not just try to be quote-unquote nice in the way of the world. Jesus is warning us in today's gospel that his disciples cannot afford to be lukewarm. Christ says they will shun and persecute you, making you an outcast, even killing you under the guise of doing good. Heaven is so beautiful and worthwhile that it can only be obtained at the same high price which our Lord paid on the cross to open up those heavenly gates to us. So, we must be prepared to suffer like Christ in order to be worthy to follow him home to heaven. And heaven where, after our fatigue, our disappointments, and our defeats in this life, we will be overjoyed to see God in glory, to see Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. And there, after our own blood, sweat, and tears on this earth, we will see that heaven was worth infinitely more than anything we could possibly suffer in this life. So each day, each and every day, let us dwell in spirit there in heaven, where Christ's victory is already won, where he is waiting and preparing a place.